Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andy Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, how are you doing, sir?
Good, Jim. How are you?
I am fantastic. And
excellent.
Just before we get started, this is Veterans Day week. I just wanted to say, Andrew P., thank you so much for your service. It is very well appreciated by all of us.
Oh, I'm grateful for that, Jimmy. Thank you so much. And happy Veterans Day and Veterans Day week to all my fellow vets out there. Live it up, lads.
I know we have a lot of them among our listeners, so I'd like to pass that happy Veterans Day along to all of them. Specifically, I know one of your fellow veterans, my good friend now, Nick from Berwick. Happy Veterans Day, my friend. I owe you a beer. All right, Andy, let's get started here with the news of the week. Let's start with this. College football playoff rankings came out again. Typically, it's all about the top. It's those first four. But I wanted to ask you about Penn State not being in the top 25. Does that surprise you? Is it a mistake by the committee? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if it really matters right now. Is it a mistake by the committee? I mean, I look at the three lost teams, right, in its top 25. I just start there. That's my not like taking 9-0 UTSA, for example. That's not what we're comparing to. You look at it, you know, Power 5 apples to apples, and I'm like, all right, you have Auburn and Wisconsin in there, both three lost teams. Penn State beat both those teams. You have three lost Utah in there. Who are they playing? And what does their schedule look like? And Arkansas, I get. Arkansas's, you know, they popped in this week at 25. I don't have any problem with Arkansas. And I think that's a really good pick. I mean, Pitt is 7-2, you know, vastly overinflated and nowhere near as good as a 7-win team as their record at 7-2 says. That would be the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're still in there, but they only have two losses. So looking at it, yeah, I think, like, well, what the heck are you looking at? But then again, this is the same college football committee that in a week where one of its initial top four lost, and sometimes that's going to happen, somehow they figured out that coming off its worst performance of the season that let's move Cincinnati up. But I just don't know. Their direction is all over the map, and their consistency in terms of college football playoff committees, this one is woefully far behind the other ones in terms of being able to understand and sort of top to bottom. The top four matter the most, but all the way across the board, what they do and how what they're using as measuring sticks and how they do it, it's a jigsaw puzzle. There's nothing you can grab from it, and it's still early, right? You still have, you know, several more of these to come out. So there's plenty of opportunity for teams at the top and teams to make the top 25 in New Year's Day bowl type games. But I just don't understand why Penn State is not one of those 25 teams. I really don't.
And I'm with you on that, Andy, but I think what frustrates me even more is when the chairman of the committee is asked about it, instead of giving an answer explaining why, you know, Auburn, Wisconsin, Utah, the three losses, here's why, he just says, well, Penn State's a good team, and if someone beats Penn State, it's a good win. That's not answering the question.
Yeah, he's got talking points for every team like that. I'm sure he gets himself prepared and kind of knows what is going to be asked, and he has his talking points. He doesn't answer the question. He says what he's prepared to say.
Well, and what he's prepared to say is whatever team that he's asked about that isn't ranked as high as the questioner thinks they might be. He just says, oh, they're a good team. He did the same thing when he was asked about Cincinnati. And even the other controversy, which I wanted to ask you about, was Michigan and Michigan State at the top. Michigan State beat Michigan head-to-head, but Michigan jumped them when Michigan State lost to Purdue. A lot of people are just saying, how could you do that? Each has one loss, but head-to-head went the other way. Your thoughts on that, Andy?
Yeah, so I think it comes down to, yeah, head-to-head is one measuring stick, and they married them right next to each other, right? And they both have to play Penn State. Hello, Michigan's playing them this week. And they both have to play Ohio State, right? So this is kind of going to play itself out. I think I didn't have a problem with it because I think one running back from Michigan State just sort of blew up Michigan in that game. If you look back, Michigan had over 550 yards of offense. They were right there in the game as well. It's just the best player on the field separated himself and made himself the absolute best player on the field that day and carried Michigan State past Michigan. They're married at 6-7. And when you do that, and when you're making rankings, that this one I can actually figure out from having done rankings for 20-some years of my career. You marry teams that you can't really separate, so and you know they're going to be playing stuff that's going to figure it out. You marry them and keep them right next to each other, so moving them above and below each other is real easy. So I think they've done that. I didn't really have a big problem with it personally.
I know a lot of people had a problem because it contradicts the head-to-head, but
sure.
I look at it as what kind of loss did each one of them had. Michigan had a close loss on the road with a controversial play there and barely lost. Michigan State, meanwhile, lost to and at the time unranked Purdue. So if I'm putting those together, I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, who had the worst loss or who had the better loss? Which, by the way, one other point I want to make about Penn State is Penn State lost a couple of those games to Iowa and Illinois where there was not a healthy Sean Clifford, which we all know makes a difference. I thought that might have been factored into things. Again, they lost the games. There were a three-loss team.
Sure.
But as a tiebreaker along the three-loss teams, I'd say, you know what, those losses aren't so bad when you have your starting quarterback hurting at the time, and we all know how much Penn State depends on him. Let's move on. There was another, perhaps small note, but I did want to bring it up. We all remember the play in the Maryland game where the Maryland quarterback goes out of bounds on the Penn State sideline. Penn State player, number to his brother, number 53, knocks him over. And I do agree with the announcers. The officials missed it. That's the kind of thing that they would always call a penalty on. And they, of course, number 53, so they blamed it on Rasheed Walker. It turns out it was actually Fred Hansard, another case of those duplicate numbers hurting the announcers, causing complications. But what happened was Fred Hansard then came out with an apology directly to Tua's brother and Maryland's program, and even mentioned Rasheed Walker and how it was too bad that he got blamed for it. I thought that was a class move by Hansard, maybe encouraged by the program, but I appreciated that he did it.
Yeah, maybe encouraged by the program. This is what you're going to do. I mean, it's his first tackle of the season, right? Like, okay, I'm sorry. I had to say that. But I didn't think it was really, you know, I was like, oh, dude, don't get out of the way. Don't do that. But I didn't think he'd hurt him. I think Talia Tagovailoa sort of played it up a little bit and was trying to buy a flag a little bit. But I mean, you don't want to get yourself hurt on the sidelines too, as fast as the game is. Even if you're a big dude, like Fred, get out of the way. Jump back. You know, I don't expect you to just stand there because you're a big dude and catch the other team's quarterback. But how many guys you see get wiped out or get an ankle rolled or get, you know, hit on the sidelines? Just back up a little bit. He didn't even move an inch, which I thought was hilarious. He was just like, get out away from me. So he should, and he's suspended for the first half of the game this week, correct, against Michigan?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Franklin took care of it. He didn't like it either. Obviously, he did not like it at all. So, he took some action, and Fred apologized for it. Everybody makes mistakes. Move on. I didn't think it was horrible, though.
No, it wasn't horrible. I think they're, what it does, though, point out, and this is even for the players on the field who are chasing someone down and out of bounds, as a football player, your instincts are always to get that hit in. Well, the state of college football right now, especially when you're chasing down a quarterback, you got to be careful. And too often, I know there are plays I watch where I don't think it's a penalty, but I cringe waiting for a flag to be thrown.
Right.
Because that's the nature of the game these days. The officials are quick to throw that flag, and they do it under the realm of player safety, you know.
Yeah.
So better to be careful. Another news item that came up and I found fascinating was Jalen Reed, safety, number 7. And it's funny, at Penn State, when even if you don't have players' names memorized with each number, because the name's not on the uniform, you sometimes see a number out there that you're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
So on defense, you see that number 7 and go, oh, wait a minute, that's something different, something new, and that's Jalen Reed. And I realized that part of him on the field was Jonathan Sutherland being out. Jalen Reed, freshman, and James Franklin talked about him as, yes, he's been in 4 games, which means any more and he burns his red shirt.
Correct.
And the fact is, James said he's ready, and that's the plan. He's going to keep playing.
Yeah, James is pretty crystal clear. Like, first of all, you said it, Jimmy, he's ready. But the second part of what James said I thought was really revealing. There are certain packages in our defense where he is our guy. Like, he is our first choice to put him in this package. So that means we need him. So want versus need, do you want to burn his red shirt? At this point in the season, no. But he's earned it, and there's a need for him on the field that they think is a top priority in some of their defensive packages. Play him. I mean, they've already burned Kalen Kings. He's played in every game. So, you know, I think if this guy's got in your regular defensive packages, if there's a role for him, burn it. Can't burn it fast enough.
I think the red shirt has really been reduced in importance in college football. Your high-end players who are ready to contribute as freshmen, they're probably not going to be around for 5 years anyway. Nope. All right, Andrew, that is it for quarter number 1. Stick around, everyone. We got Ross Tucker coming in quarter 2. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.